I ask you to turn with me once again to the Gospel of John, the 18th chapter, John chapter 18. Last week we asked the question, what is truth? And as we sought to answer that question in terms of the text of Holy Scripture, we saw that Pilate had raised that question of Jesus. And in raising the question, we do not know what his motivation was behind it or why he raised the question as he did, but he certainly raised the question. And then we sought to come down and to answer that on the basis of Scripture on saying, Scripture teaches us that final truth is living in the person of Jesus Christ, and it's written on the text of Holy Scripture, in the text of Holy Scripture. And so it is in John's Gospel, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free, but that is followed by, if you continue in my word, then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And then we took note in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then John 17:17, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. But tonight we come to this circumstance where after Pilate has investigated Jesus, has had this encounter with him, he comes to the Jewish people, the Jewish authorities, and he goes back out to them and he makes this declaration that we will give greater examination to in our studies next week. But in verse 38, it ends with the statement of saying, he went out again to the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. That's his declaration. He says, in examination, I really don't find any fault in him. The very person that was the embodiment of truth had stood before him, had been there, and had actually put Pilate under examination. But he says, I don't find any fault in him whatsoever. But now in verse 39, he shifts things, and as the best that I can understand, it is a point that he's offering a plea bargain. He's offering a plea bargain to the Jews to try to placate them and try to get off the hook himself. So, verse 39. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Now, I'm going to stop at this point, and so that's my first point tonight is the custom of release. The custom of release. No other source identifies this matter of the custom. We don't have that in any rabbinic writings. We don't have it in the Mishnah. We don't have it in Talmud. We don't have it in Josephus or in Philo. We don't have it apart from the record of Scripture. But it does fit with the practices of the Jewish people. And the idea that at the Passover, and other passages that we will observe in a few moments, make other references to this, but the idea is that it would be a gesture of favor, that here is a special feast, and at this time, you do something in a grand gesture to reach out and to do something of a magnanimous nature. In the United States, they have an annual holiday that is set apart for the giving of thanks, the fourth Thursday of the month of November. And most every year, at least in my recollection, the President of the United States issues a pardon to a turkey. Okay? Because remember, turkey, well, you wouldn't remember necessarily, but in the United States, turkey is a major thing in terms of Thanksgiving dinner that, you know, you have the roast turkey. And so the President extends a pardon to a turkey, and gobble gobble, the turkey goes off and avoids being executed that year. Don't know what happens to them long term, and I don't know of them having any care homes for turkeys that are aged or anything in that regard. But you look on and you say, well, why would he do that? Well, it's a magnanimous gesture of saying, we're going to do this, and so here, out of all these turkeys that are going to be butchered and roasted and so forth, this turkey is going to go free. The prisoner was somebody that was identified as a criminal, and in the mix of that, The likelihood is that there would have been people in the crowd who had their prisoner that they were hoping that name would come to the top, that name would come to the surface. And in all likelihood, there were people in the crowd that were really in the court of wanting Barabbas to be released. And so when his name comes up, it provides an opportunity where Pilate is looking for a chance to be able to get out of this. And so he mentions the name Barabbas and those who were there looking to advance their person. Now, I don't know if you've ever done any work around prisons. I've only been to prison to visit people. I've never been incarcerated, and so I've always been very thankful each time that when I hear all those doors lock behind me as I walk through and I get in to see the prisoner, that I have hope that eventually I can say to them, I'm ready to go, and they boom, 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 reopen, and I get to walk out. But the thing that I've been struck with is, as you go and you see the waiting room in a prison, you find that many of those prisoners have advocates and people who care about them who are there, and they've done all kinds of things in order to be able to get there, in order to they want to see them, they want to talk to them, they care about that person. And so when you hear about Barabbas, and you say, well, there were likely people in the crowd who were looking out for their chance to advance his name and to allow him to be able to be delivered. You say, well, why for any scoundrel like that? Well, wait. All you have to do is read the newspaper about people who are, various circumstances that take place, and you find there are some very interesting developments. So I'm contending that in the custom of the release, though we have no record beyond the scripture of that, the scripture's adequate to be my record on that. And it says that they had a custom of release. And in this custom, at the Passover, John identifies other passages, the other gospels are not as explicit, but I think it's legitimate for it to be identified as the Passover. He turns to them and he says, will I therefore release unto you the King of the Jews? That brings me then to my second point tonight, and that is the criminal of choice. The custom of release, number two, the criminal of choice. Pilate had already said, I don't find any fault in him. I find in him no fault at all. And I'm convinced that Pilate really did want to release Jesus to allow him to be set free. And he was looking for some alternative, some way that he could have a plea bargain and Jesus be able to get out. But he could have placated the Jews in that by having him released as a criminal. Okay? So he says, the custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover, and ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews. And the point is, in inference, if he released Jesus to them and they agreed to that, the chief priest and so forth would be able to say, yes, he is a criminal. Pilate has recognized that as such. And so he offers that as the first option. But notice he uses the term King of the Jews. Now, using the term King of the Jews would have been a term, it would have been a way that, you see, he could have gotten Jesus on the charge of being a king in the realm of Caesar. But remember that the Jews were very nervous about Jesus. Turn back with me to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Picking up at verse 49. And one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole world, that the whole nation perish not. You see, he's saying one dying for all. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for the nation. And not for the nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Then from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence into the country of the wilderness, into the city of Ephraim, and he continued with the disciples. And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus, and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, "What think ye, that he will not come to the feast?" Now both the chief priest and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it, that they might take him. What I'm asking you to note in particular in the context, you look in verse 50, he says, it is expedient that one die rather than the whole nation perish. So he's underscoring Caiaphas is underscoring this, and as it goes on to say, he spoke prophetically as the priest. It wasn't of his own understanding, it wasn't that he was that sharp in his understanding and his comprehension. But in working from that, you see, they're terrified that they're going to lose their nation. So Pilate comes back, and he says, "Shall I release unto you the king of the Jews?" And so that would have been, it could have appealed to them of saying, see, this is this one, and so do I release him? And we come then to the next term, and that is, in verse 40 it says, "Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas." And then John adds, "Now Barabbas was a robber." Choose a notorious prisoner. Yes, that's who we'll choose. Let us choose a notorious prisoner. Jesus was identified as one without fault. Barabbas is identified as a notorious robber. Now, turn back with me to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. Luke 23. Begin at verse 13. "And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people, said unto them, Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people, and behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. And I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas." Now look at verse 19. "Who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder, was cast into prison." Now drop to verse 25. "And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will." A double edge, the double responsibility situation here. He releases Barabbas, but notice the kind of person Barabbas is identified as. Not just a notorious robber, he is an insurrectionist. So that would have been a bit, he would have been a terrorist, he would have been a bit of the hero of ISIS, or the Daesh, as it is called here. He would have been a guerrilla warfare guy, he would have been a hero of many of the insurrectionist Jews. But it's identified that here was a man who was a murderer, and he was cast into prison. But then I note in Mark chapter 15, so turn back with me to Mark chapter 15. Verse 6. Now at the feast, he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. So see, here it's the point of who is it that chooses the prisoner to be released? Well, it's the people, the will of the people. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, "Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priest moved the people that he should release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered again and said unto them, "What will ye that I shall do unto you, whom ye call, to him whom ye call King of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." Again, I note the matter in terms of the kind of person that Barabbas was identified in Mark's gospel. Then turn back with me to Matthew's gospel, chapter 27. Matthew 27. Verse 15. Matthew 27, verse 15. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, "Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ?" For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. And then drop down to verse 21. The governor answered and said unto them, "Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you?" And they said, "Barabbas." And Pilate said unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ?" And they all say unto him, "Let him be crucified." And the governor said, "Why? What evil hath he done?" But they cried out all the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." You see, on that day, they chose a substitute for Jesus. And their substitute, they had the opportunity for Jesus to be released, to be discharged, and all the appeals are made of saying, we don't find him guilty. We don't find him at fault. And then here is Barabbas. Check, 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 problem, problem, problem. But their response is, "Release unto us Barabbas. We want him." And so the matter of choosing a substitute, they give that choice of saying, "We will take Barabbas over Jesus." Now, I come then to my third point, and that is the cry of substitution. The cry of substitution. The name Barabbas rolls off of our tongues, and we're familiar with it. But what does the name Barabbas mean? Well, bar is Aramaic for son. In Hebrew, the term ben is the term for son. But bar and then av, Abba, is a term for father. So in the Jewish realm, if you hear somebody talking about Av, it's dad, Av. But here's a man named Bar, son of the father. They chose him and they said, "We want him released." Now, he was a son of his father, and some texts, some ancient texts indicate that his name was Jesus Bar-Abba, or Jesus Barabbas. Again, it's a textual point that we cannot dogmatically say one way or the other, but there are some texts that actually have that his name was Jesus Barabbas, Jesus, Son of the Father. And so here was a guerrilla warfare, a guerrilla insurrectionist, a fighter, a murderer. He had blood on his hands. The Son of the Father. He is released. But standing before Pilate, standing before the Jews that day, was Jesus, the true Son of the Heavenly Father. And he, they wanted crucified. Would you turn back with me to John chapter 1? John chapter 1. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, This was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. Now notice the next phrase. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. He has given the accurate understanding of who God is. He is the true Son of the Father. But notice what happens to Him. He is not released. He is the one who is sentenced to be crucified. They wanted Jesus, but they wanted Jesus domesticated. They wanted a Jesus that would be the one to overthrow Rome. They wanted Jesus to be the power broker for them. They wanted a Jesus of their own image, of their own making. They would have had Him. But He was not that kind. He would not be bought off. He would not be their domesticated Jesus. He was the Jesus who was the true Son of the Father. And as a result, they rejected Him. They demanded that He die. And so I ask you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul summarizes this when he's writing to the church at Philippi, and it's very fascinating when you read these prison letters, these prison epistles, and as Paul writes of these things, there's some very marvelous insights that he presents to us. But notice in verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God hath also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Yes, in the human purpose, they would refuse to have a domesticated Jesus. They would refuse to have the Jesus who was. They wanted the domesticated Jesus. But God sent Jesus as the God-man to stand in our place for our human rebellion, to pay the price for our sin, that He would one day be exalted, that every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that He is Lord. And then our text that we read earlier, Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. As it was in that day, so it is in our day. Many people want Jesus, but they want a Jesus of their own making. They want a Jesus that will fit their profile. They have their description. Here's the Jesus that I love. Here's the Jesus that I want. Here's the Jesus I will follow. The only problem is, that is not the Jesus of Scripture. And so they have chosen a substitute for Jesus. They have put in the place of the Jesus of Scripture an idol, an icon, so to speak, of their own making. Oh, it's not necessarily something that they hold up, not something that they necessarily physically bow down in front, but in their minds, they have that Jesus profiled. Here's what he would say. Here's what he would do. And so, dear one, it doesn't really matter. Well, do you think Jesus would? My Jesus wouldn't. It doesn't particularly matter what you think or what I think. It comes back to what has God declared in His Word about Jesus. And that's the Jesus that we must know. The question I bring to you tonight is, do you know Jesus, the Jesus of Scripture? Or have you asked for a substitute for Him? On that fateful day, Pilate comes out and says, "Shall I release to you the King of the Jews?" They said, "No. We will choose the Son of the Father. We'll choose our Son of the Father, the one we want. This is who we vote for. What shall I do with Jesus? Crucify Him." I ask you to turn back with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Let's begin at verse 24. I'll go ahead and back up to verse 22 as a context there. "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses." Now look at verse 29. "Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite to the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days, in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight and afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, And he that shall come will come and will not tarry. And now the rest, and now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. The other week we asked the question as we concluded the service, what will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. One day your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? Let us pray.